Out of Space, a podcast by Space Studios. Welcome to the Out of Space podcast, hosted by me, Kathy Lomax, featuring artists from Across Spaces Studios in conversation with writers, critics, and art professionals, offering a closer look into what happens behind closed studio doors. Hello, welcome to the second season of the Out of Space podcast. Once again, our overarching theme is care. And to launch the season, we have a special episode with two award-winning artists, Lina Lapalite and Laure Prevost. I'll be talking with Lina and Laure about their respective practices, which often involve collaborative and interactive elements, and finding out more about Lina's new show for space. We'll also be discussing how winning prestigious art prizes impacts upon a career, which leads neatly to the title of this episode, which is What Next? So to begin, let me introduce our two guests. Lina Lapalite is a Lithuanian artist who lives and works between Vilnius and London. Her performance-based practice is rooted in music and flirts with pop culture, gender stereotypes, and nostalgia. In 2019, Lina won the Golden Line at Venice with her collaborative work Sun and Sea Marina for the Lithuanian Pavilion. And in 2020, she received the National Art and Culture Prize in Lithuania. Lina's work often engages trained and untrained performers in an act of singing in a wide range of genres, such as mainstream music and opera. The singing takes the form of a collective and affective event that questions vulnerability and silencing. Lina's work has been shown extensively, including at MoCA Los Angeles, Cartier Foundation Gallery Paris, the Serpentine Gallery in London, and the Baltic Triennial in Tallinn. And of course, her show, Here, Here, Hair, Hair, is at Space Ilford from the 28th of May until September 2022. On to Laure. Language in its broadest sense permeates the video, sound, installation and performance work of Laure Prevost. Known for her immersive and mixed media installations that combine film and installation in humorous and idiosyncratic ways, Prevost's work addresses miscommunication and ideas becoming lost in translation. Playing with language as a tool for the imagination, Laure combines existing and imagined personal memories with artistic and literary references to create complex film installations that muddy the distinction between fiction and reality. Prevost was born in France and lives and works in Brussels at the moment. She won the Max Mara Prize for Women in 2011 and the Turner Prize in 2013. Since graduating from the Goldsmiths MA programme in 2010, she's had numerous solo exhibitions all over the world, including at Palais de Tokyo, Paris, Listen Gallery, New York, Walker Art Centre, Minneapolis, and Tate Britain. Her work is also featured in the Baltic Triennial in Tallinn, Art Basel, and in 2019 she represented France at the Venice Biennale. Phew, right, I've got those out of the way. That was a big chunk of amazingness from both of you. Welcome. Thank you for both being part of the podcast, and it's really nice to meet both of you. And I think you know each other already quite well, is that right? How did you meet?
Ooh, I can't pinpoint that, but friends, I guess.
I know you how know. We met, Laure. Oh, well, we met in Vilnius when you dug that tunnel.
Yes. And, yeah, we went right down, like 5 kilometers down the tunnel, and I was like, who's that little eye shining in there? At the end, is that Lina?
Yeah, it was Lina.
It's true, but then we met so many times after in London.
And then
everywhere.
On some occasional beaches.
We have a lot of friends in common as well.
And then
I spent time on the beach in Venice with the family. Yeah. It was so cool. I mean, the actual beach, huh? Lina's beach.
Oh, the real beach. Yeah. I thought you meant Lina's beach.
No, I mean Lina's beach. That's the actual one. Yeah.
Which one is real? Yeah. The kids usually cannot tell.
Yeah, it was the favorite moment of the whole video. So
I was at the Biennale that year in Venice, went right at the end when it was really flooded in Venice, and it was such a weird time. I was like in a hotel and just looking out the window, and the water was getting higher and higher, and that siren that goes beep 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 when you know that it was,
yeah,
it was,
and you had
like,
to wait
so,
hours
so
before being able to get
yeah.
out of your
and
flat
I had to
and wait where the
by these really high waders so I could just like wade around in the water outside. It was
Were you there, Laura, as well?
I came at the end again, yeah, in November, yeah. It was it was crazy.
It was really crazy
but it was great to experience both, you know, to see the city as also overwhelmed by water and which is a big reality.
Just to get started then on our kind of not at all focused but a little bit focused talk, Lina, I know there's often a sort of participatory aspect to your work, so I just wondered how that comes together, how you manage to, do you plan out the work meticulously beforehand, or does the way that the participants interact change things a lot? How does that work in practice?
I think I'm interested in people and in their stories, and then I imagine something and then I invite people to be part of something, and then it goes completely somewhere else. so that's and I find it very challenging but also kind of an essential part of the work, where you kind of open yourself to this unknown and then being led by other forces and other people. So I do have ideas when I start to think of something, but then I often learn that things are impossible or they cannot happen in that way, which also then gets embraced by the work itself, I would say.
Yeah. Do you relate to that as well, Law, in that kind of...
No, definitely. I think when you start, you have a faint idea, or as you're right, it's also a lot about the people you meet and the collaboration and what everyone might bring to the project, or this point of view, but also losing control. And you might have a very clear, but it's often quite vague for me. It's a clear and vague idea of what I want to achieve. Or it's a sensation, or it's a feeling that you don't know. It's materiality almost, or it's visual, or it's sound, or it's... So it's by spending time and figuring out when things goes wrong, what's good in the wrong, what might be useful in the mistake, what might be beautiful in not controlling, what might be. I totally relate. I think we definitely, but I'm sure quite a lot of artists have that freedom. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. I think maybe it's quite specific in the way. I think Lina is so beautifully collaborative that I think there's even you have to be open arm, you know, and embrace and be very sensitive of your surrounding and what's to then let grow what's strong at the moment or what's, and I guess. I think it's your level up for me in that sense. It's even more where I still hold an image, you know, like in terms of editing, or I don't know. Yeah. But it's definitely both our practice very collaborative, and we find as we make. I imagine.
I was thinking that it kind of also what you were describing does relate to painting, which is what I mainly do. In that, of course, you have that idea at the beginning, but then everything changes and you have to allow those things to take you in a certain direction. And so it's almost like the participants in your work are your materials a little bit. I mean, that sounds a bit like I'm diminishing them, but I don't mean to, but they, you know, they're making the work and
Yeah, I think from my perspective, perhaps I have like two ways of working. So one, like with in particular Sun and Sea, it's actually made by three artists, you know. Mm. So we, from the very beginning, it was three people who kind of brought their ideas into the work. And then, so there is no one who makes decisions. Like we all have to agree on things and what goes in and what goes out. And I think that's very different where you work, you know, on your own, mm-hmm. like as an artist. And then when you have participants to kind of contribute to the idea, which is still like your framework, like conceptual framework. Mm. So mm-hmm. I guess in my case, I have like this duality of like being like collaborative from the very, very essence, from the roots of the work. And in the other one where like the moments come in and then they kind of become part of the work, but then still they are kind of surrounding your initial vision. And yeah.
Yeah, and then I also feel, for me, the collaborator also the audience, so you know, the people who you will share the piece you make, or you know.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that, Law. I was going to ask you about audiences and how much you think of them when you're making the work, or how they change the work.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think you think of personal characters, maybe, you know, not like, oh, she's gonna come or he's gonna, although you might, I mean, you're super happy when that person comes or not, but it's more, I think this, I think it's, I don't think you produce in mind, within mind of that. But for me, definitely the visitor is a collaborator, and it's and the work is definitely doesn't exist without that exchange. And I think, and that again, you kind of lose. It's another moment where you lose kind of control, or you hint at direction that the work has created, in Lina's work and my work, you have a proposition, but then after, of course, and I think works completely evolve with time, like in 50 years, it's like, what does this work mean? It evolves, so you lose control, and the character, if I shoot a piece in Shanghai, or I shoot in UK or in Belgium, every time it has a completely different emotional connection, or especially with language of misunderstanding. I mean, you push it a different. But then it's, yeah, I like the idea that when I create this installation where you sit on the seat of the grandma, or you sit, you become, you're part of the family, you're the character, and I guess we're one big family. And I think all also artists together, we're big family, that we kind of provoke each other, feed each other. So I guess I don't know if I answered the question, but it's kind of,
yeah. No, that's really interesting. I mean, it's so true that once you've made the work and it sort of goes out, then you do lose control to a certain extent, don't you? And the audience kind of activates it in different ways, mm-hmm. in different places. Mm-hmm. So makes sense.
Talking about family, I just realized, like, at some point I was like, I'm making this work that no one can relate to, and especially my mom, she was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I realized that if the work is understandable by my mother, it has chances to like also speak to like more people. Mm. And it's not that like I try to please her, mm-hmm. but also it's, I also realize that she kind of changes after like seeing certain works. So I feel that, yeah, talking about family, like my mom became like this kind of audience member that I kind of think, you know, that like her impressions of what the thing is, like give me quite a, like, I think a broad view of what others may take out of it. Mm. As.
But you're right, I think this kind of... also a different kind of perspective. Sometimes the art world is a bit self-centered, or we're talking about sort of specific ideas which are also very specific point of view, like left, you know, like, I don't know. Like you took, you have to be conscious of a bigger world. And I think once you, the family is usually quite good. It's like, oh, I hate conceptual art, or like, what is conceptual art? My grandma, I remember after, when I got the Turner Prize, my real grandma was like, okay, can you show us your work? And so I had to do a lecture again. And I was like, I'm so tired of doing lectures, like, for not on Christmas Day, you know, please. And then, and then it's like, oh, it goes too fast. Stop, pause. And then what? And then the next day, they're looking in the dictionary what conceptual art is. And I think all that dialogue, that sort of it's so wonderful that you took. As you say, to it's also it's maybe more direct emotions. So it's much more, mm-hmm. Oh, that hurts, that's nice. But, and I think it's good to have both moments, yeah, where you can take that distance from what you make and see who are you talking to, you talking to an elite only, or intellectual elite, or are we sharing bigger, I don't know, or, yeah, and I feel that's definitely what your works is achieved to do, is to talk, when you talk about emotion, it talks to everyone, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that idea of your, Lynn, or of your mum being your kind of test case for your work. Yes. I think that's really cool. Yeah. I'm wondering, because we have this... this theme at Space at the moment about care, which, you know, can mean loads of different things, but I wonder if you've got any thoughts about how that relates to your own practice, both of you. Maybe Lina first, your projects for Space at the moment. I think there's some connections with care and caring, and generally, maybe more generally in your work. I don't know, maybe you could talk a little bit about your current Space, mm-hmm, project a bit, and if you think it connects with that, with care.
Yeah, I think with this, it's a very broad sort of term, yeah, that I kind of, in a way, I feel that the care is embedded in my practice in any case, like, because when you start with people, you can't do otherwise but care about them. It's like it's never a one-way experience. Like, if, like, it's always like you have to give back, like, mm-hmm, it's, or you have to take care of them. So I feel that's one thing, and then I like, from the initial invitation, I always knew that the project would be somehow related with the, you know, with the local people in Ilford. And for me, it was, also like a dilemma. How do I get to know them? And how, I'm also quite shy, like, so I don't just like knock on the door,
yeah,
and see someone, can you, like, would you like to do this exciting thing with me? So no, it doesn't work like this. And, so the setup was also, I thought, that I would give something, and then maybe that's how I would gather people around me. So it all started with these sound walks, where we just I do these workshops on listening, and we would like explore the surrounding areas of the gallery of the Ilford. There would be like these kind of workshops where people could sign up, and then these sound walks would kind of form some kind of group together, which would then, and then we would go into like improvisation session where we use the voice, and a lot of people have never done it before. So it was very interesting to also kind of challenge the expectations and kind of also to set their minds into this idea of sound and the surrounding sound of the area and in general in our lives. And then the project itself is actually, it will be like a sound installation or probably be talking like this is streamed at the time when the sound installation is already on.
Yes.
And so I'm having people to perform different animal sounds around them. So and basically it's a very kind of pure sound work that is kind of imitating nature, or almost like, I guess, like it's a little bit of irony in that, of like, because I think we are all like, a lot of people talk about the love to the nature, and but then we also exploit it a lot, so it's like that, it's kind of care but also not care. And and for me it was this idea of like creating this like soundscape completely made of like pretended voices, so people pretend they're nature but they're not. Like pretend they're some kind of living beings who they are not. So I think we do a lot of that in in general. Yeah, so that's the more or less what the show is.
I love the way it has that kind of fun element in it as well. I think that's so, you know, that's so important. So often people who don't really know about contemporary art just think it's really, I don't know, dry, and they don't sort of realize that actually you can enjoy it and it's fun and it's, it has this vitality to it. So I think that's really great.
But I think Lina's saying something quite serious with humor, and you know, like and that sort of being able to talk about you know, exploiting and pretending to be something else. I mean, that's something we do a lot, but it's also it's serious. When we say we pretend we love nature and then we completely destroy it, and it's so true. Even nature, naturally we go to a park and we want to pick the flowers, you know. It's like, but it's a very simple and this morning I was just dropping my little daughter and there are these books pretending to be a cow, you know, like, and all the children are like moo. the camu, and you're just that real, and the materiality is full of plastic and like electronics, and that's you're talking about something very serious.
It works on so many levels. It's really, I can't wait to hear it. I know it's on already when this goes out, but I haven't been yet to experience it. And Laura, I was thinking about care in your work. I'm sure you've got a really interesting take on this, but I guess what came to mind was your exhibition Mother, because I was thinking about mothers, who we've already talked about a bit, Lina's mother. And the fact that there seems like something kind of very nurturing, but also a little bit terrifying in this idea of the mother, maybe particularly in your project that you did.
You mean the one at Louisiana? Which one?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah, yes, okay. The one at Louisiana. Yeah. I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, because there's a lot of mother coming in from every corner.
Oh, really? I mean, you don't have to talk about that, but
no.
Any thoughts you have on care?
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, it's something that keeps coming into practice from a lot before. I think care became this kind of fashionable word everyone used since the pandemic. And I mean, we've all cared for each other, hopefully before as well. But I think it was maybe a bit more, I don't know, there was a need of communicating the world, I guess. I mean, care, I mean, there's always a bit. There's a video I did a long time ago. It's called, I Need to Take Care of My Conceptual Granddad, and I was basically creaming. I used to assist John Latham, this conceptual artist in London. And he asked me once to cream his back. And it felt a little bit, you know, a bit too assistance gone a bit too. But anyway, so at the end, I creamed his book, and real friendship. I really adored him. He was a very special man. But this idea of what do we care? And how do we care? There's irony in it as well. Like, you cream a book, you destroy it. You there's also another video with just my hands. Like, I'll take care of you, don't worry. It's a monitor that would talk to another artist's work, you can place it anywhere. If you're dusty, I'll care for you, don't worry. I'll blow the dust out of you. And this idea of the impossible care as well, or just a very mental care, you know, it's like the idea that we'll always be there for each other, but we know we're not, even physically, like we care slightly mentally. Now on the podcast, where we're not physically together, but our voices are caring and listening to each other and trying to respond. And I think it's... I think there's always a sense of, and I see in Lina as well, is we care, but there's the irony of it, because how much can, I think you can care quite locally, I think locally and very personally. There's, and of course, there's decision you take that care about the planet, the way you live a bit and the way you take decisions. But it comes always with compromise. I mean, we're flying. I don't know if, Lina, you're flying, but I'm flying still. I'm moving, and I care for the subject I try to talk about. But at the same time, I'm constantly in between this the speed of the world, the speed of... So it's a subject that's very loaded, and at the same time, the mother in Louisiana, I guess, is very... it's also the tired mother. It's after Venice. It's after when you produce, you give a lot. You work a lot with people. You gain a lot of energy, but you also got, I think there was a show I did also in Berlin with I can't remember the title, but it's like the leftover, you're a bit tired, and there the mother is a bit the smoking mother. She's like still breathing and trying to care of everything, and like this like resin floor full of black ink, and like she's like just there trying to breathe and protect, but she's a bit overwhelmed by the world. It's a bit exhausted care, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I can definitely relate to that. Mm. The exhausted mother and just what is left of yourself. You're like,
But also the octopus is very interesting in terms of this extremely smart animal who's really fast at learning or understanding its surrounding, and then it's, you know, with the brain in its tentacle, that is really immediate sensation and sensation to the brain, but then she also protects her. The she dies when the baby come to life, so she doesn't pass out history, but it's really like you exhaust yourself for the next generation. So that's kind of extreme care in some ways, maybe.
I can't remember the title of the film about the octopus, the documentary that was recently that was really amazing about I think there's a whole new kind of respect for octopuses that I'm sure that you've helped with, you've added to, should we say. I was thinking about film a bit, and I was thinking about your work with the collaborators, Lina, and if you feel a bit like a director thinking of film directors, you know, having all these components that you put together. And so that made me think, are there any films or filmmakers that either of you are particularly influenced by or like, or would like to mention? I'm really interested in film, so that's why this is my pet subject. I've sprung that on you a bit, so you might need a bit of time to think. When I was watching your piece, Swallow, I think it's called, Law, and with that kind of very breathy voice. I was really thinking of the film Badlands, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you know, but there's not that much connection. But I love that way that you can see something and you immediately takes you to I think see. Of something yeah, else, yeah. and you make these kind of weird little
actually I haven't seen it, but I should see it then.
Oh yeah, I mean, as I say, there's not really a big connection. It's just that voiceover and that kind of innocent guilelessness that made me think of it.
I think for me, in terms of film, it's I'm more into experimental cinema. I think mainstream. I think there's a lot, and I feel it surrounds us. Maybe I might not be able to pinpoint exactly. I mean, of course, there's the work. I like the work of Agnès Varda. I've worked with, but I also John Jonas' videos are beautiful at the moment. I think there's so many Ken Jacob. There's so many John Smith. So many artists you'd love and admire. And but it's and Land. There's so many things. And just where do you start and stop? That gets a bit difficult. I think. But I don't know, Lina, if you feel like.
No, for me as well, like you know, depending what kind of period you take, so I've been, I don't know, even Peter Greenaway at some point,
of
it's
course.
Such a big influence, you know, so like all, and John Smith as well, and Jonas Mackus, and I wouldn't say it's only film, like I think we just like, I just absorb a lot of things around me. So I wouldn't say like film is like the main kind of influence on the practice. It's everything, really.
Yeah. And obviously you work with music, so you must have a lot of, listen to a lot of music and have a lot of crossover and influences and, and popular culture.
Yeah, I mean, I do and I don't. Like, it's like we just talked, you know, because musicians, you just don't, I never have music around me, so it's very quiet. Because I cannot not listen to it. So if I do, then it's very focused time or like specific. So I don't use music as a perfume, you know, that's surrounding me. But the influences, I think they're kind of different, but I keep learning a lot. Like, so it's such a vast field. And also with film, I just feel like every year there are these like amazing filmmakers just like produce a new work and just kind of, it's just like expanding, isn't it? Like, how do you catch up?
Yeah, that's so true. It's like, if I don't know if you've ever started to look at your family tree, and when you go back and you think, oh my God, each generation, there are twice, like my children have twice as many descendants as I have. And it just kind of gets really like, it's like so crazy, the thought of all this stuff that's already been and all these people that have already been that you
and it's all there. It's a lot about in some ways where do we put the attention, you know, where do we focus and how do we and choose, and that's the hardest part is choosing well and or support like being. But it's true, it's the extent of expenditure that doesn't, but I still feel like, for me, it's also a lot of like the friendships, even the children listen at school, or the children that you start, it's what's near you that sort of, also what the trashy music that, your neighbor loves, but this, all of this feeds us, and I don't feel like this is this idea of hierarchy of culture, or we choose, of course, the our language, Lina and I, in the way we work and with who, but I feel everything feeds you, and even a show that you find is not interesting, you don't, it's still there, it kind of feeds you, you know. So, it's complex.
I wanted to just touch on quickly the idea of winning prizes, because I mentioned it at the beginning, and we've sort of built it in a bit to the title of this episode, but what, it's probably hard to quantify this, but what effect has winning these prizes had upon you? Has it been a positive thing? Has it, or are there negatives to it as well? I don't know who would like to talk about that. Maybe we'll start with Lina. Has it really opened up your career for you, or are there negatives?
I don't know. I think it's kind of hard to reflect on it still. I don't. Maybe Laura, you are better here, because you, like, I just realized that the Turner Prize, that seems like so recent. It's already like
10 years ago. Yeah,
I know.
Almost.
Like, I think with the pandemic and sort of taking 2 years out of our lives, almost, it's made everything seem strange, hasn't it? The timeline. Yeah.
I think for me, what I've noticed. So first, I think the Turner Prize is a very British prize. So it was, for me, of course, a huge honor and welcoming. I felt welcome and supported by Britain for giving me that, and for giving me the opportunity for the work to grow. And that really came from... The work for me has grown from my time in England, and now I carry on. But it's really, I feel I'm half, I'm more British than French in some ways, you know, in terms of because the practice grew there. Although I'm neither in some ways, because I left very young. I mean, I'm France really early, and then now I'm in Belgium. But I feel like it was very winning. I don't know. So, you know, when it happened, the French were like, Turner Prize French. So that was on the radio. You know, it's like, you know, suddenly I became French, and I never had that feeling of nationality. And I think that's something really weird with prizes, nationality attached to it. And I guess also for you in Venice. And that's something I never felt I wanted to even push in front. I was talking about misunderstanding language in a much wider sense, or being an outsider. Foreigner, but foreigner of emotion as much as words. Or, you know, how do you talk about mistranslation or translation of something? So I feel this was quite a big thing when nationality came in, and suddenly also the work, I think I had much more people from outside Britain start to be interested in the practice. And slowly the work, so now I guess I'm much more, it's more international. I mean, it's good, but it's also hard sometimes, because you less have a community of people you grew with, that you see less, or you bump into. You create new energies, of course, and beautiful energies. Time for a new piece, or for people you meet and gathering, and it has. So yeah, with a bit more maybe for you. I'm sure it's, you're experiencing similar. In terms of movement, I don't know, Lina, I'm talking, but I feel like it pulls us in a lot of direction. But it also gives wonderful opportunity for the work to grow if you don't lose the focus and the time you might need to do something. And sometimes, yeah, I felt like for years and years it was, you struggle at studio. When I was in Space Studio, I was on my own for months and trying to do things, and felt lonely, and it was difficult. But also, you know, you have to tackle your practice and keep pushing, you know, and then there's a moment you get with opportunities. It's also hard to say no, you know, sometimes. I don't know if you feel...
yeah, I feel, I think I need to, like, it gives, of course it gives recognition that you don't understand what it is, and I think it slowly started to kind of crash on me. Like, I realized, okay, like, I need, like, a system. How do I accommodate all these invitations? Is on the other, like, it's, I think, you know, the reason why we are here, because perhaps of the curiosity and like of the wish to share, and then when it becomes like like it when it comes to you, then you have to have means of how to accommodate that, and I find that I have to kind of rethink and relearn a lot of things at this point, because it's like, okay, so I'm so used to like do the DIY on my own and all this, and then suddenly I feel that I can't do this anymore. So you know, it's a question whether I stay within my sort of capacity, do I expand, you know, so, you know, all these kind of questions that I feel that probably Laura, you kind of already perhaps passed it, or like, you know, I'm in the moment where I'm like, so where do I stay? Like, I love London. It's like, do we keep staying here? Do we go back to Lithuania? It's like all this kind of uncertainties that I feel that I'm like,
and residencies. And we invited the residencies, always an amazing moment where you enter the work from a different perspective and different, but then it's also a lot of emotional energy. You have to adapt, you have to find your way. I mean, you know London so well, so I think it's very different, but it's still a finding situation, and we both have family, and it's we have many little brains around us. We're just like, this brain, where's it off to? So you just connect, having this, that's kind of, it's some choices, I guess.
I guess it's just another kind of growing, isn't it? Things are changing. It makes things, it accelerates change, these moments where you have this recognition, and it brings lots of opportunities. And so it means that you have to just, lots of decisions to make about what you do and how you go forward.
Yeah, help, I guess, finding the right people who ready, wants to join the journey and help if we, or like, create a family that can support the work in some ways. And it's finding, I think I'm, I don't know. I think you find it's slowly as well. I feel like now I've got a studio, and it's a base, and there's people who come I've got people helping me, and they the family, and they hold us. it's true. They expand. What's crazy is like once is a. The more people see it, the more it doesn't. You just need to do really bad work, Lina, and you'll be fine. I'm trying that sometimes. I'm pretty
sometimes. I love that idea. Yes.
I know. I think it's also like, I think, I don't know how it is with you, Laura, but for me, I'm like always questioning, you know, do you need, you know, you can completely like switch your career around and like flip over to like becoming
something else,
someone else.
But everybody, or pretend to be, so I like to sign like as a grandma, or you just at least you don't have to respond to the speed of the demand, maybe. And being a bit like, okay, I'm not I understand the situation, but I'm also, there's different speeds I can play, maybe. I mean, it's not always easy, because of course to switch. I mean, recently I moved to Molenbeek in this area in Brussels, and it's a very it's one of the poorest neighbor in Europe, I think. So it's kind of a place that needs a lot of love, a lot of care, and I feel I'm giving attention. And then the work, of course, you have to choose where do you give the attention. Are you trying to make a community, like trying to grow things and reimagine a bit the surrounding with people? That's enormous energy and work, and that the practice lose that time. But yeah, it's true that it's a battle in some ways, but it's also, because we can't multiply ourselves, really.
No, not really.
No.
I think that was really insightful from both of you about that. I just wanted to end, really, we've kind of been talking for a while now, by finding out what's coming up for both of you. Maybe you could start with you, Laura. What are you working on? What have you got happening soon?
just doing a lot of bad work. It's getting good. I'm getting very good at it. So I'm just, I'm working on quite a few projects coming up, but I've just done a piece around the birth of my newborn daughter, which is now in Helsinki in Kiasma. So it's again around motherhood in some ways and sort of nature, fishes, human fish kind of thing. But I'm working on a very large scale show for the National Museum of Oslo for the end of October, and that's it's kind of a huge commission. So this is a lot of my energy goes back there. There's another piece here in Belgium that will open next week, and then this Busan, Biennial, a lot of things to look forward and to work on. But
it feels now that everything's opened up and that just all of a sudden there is so much to you know, so many more opportunities, but also so much to see and do. It feels like a little bit overwhelming sometimes right now. I don't know if you feel that with your
practice. I guess, yeah.
And Lena, I know obviously you've got your show at Space, which I'm sure that you're, you know, working on right now.
Yeah.
Have you got plans for after that, or how are things?
Yeah, as you say, like quite a lot of things just like combine into like all the postponed or like planned shows that were quiet for a while. Now everything wants to happen at the same time. I'm actually working also in the parallel to Space. I'm working on the solo show at the Lafayette Anticipation in Paris. And it's like a challenging work. I'm working with, like, it's going to be a performance piece, like an ongoing work for a month.
Nice.
So that's like, that brings a lot of kind of memories from how we were doing Venice. And it's a work on I'm working with people who consider themselves non-musical, so it's kind of going against that kind of classical tradition of what music is and how we should relate it on this like Western sort of tuning. So I'm taking like, you know, individual positions of people as a starting point, and we making music. Finally, they are allowed to make music.
Yeah. Amazing.
And then I'm having like a large commission in Munich for like a public work. That's the coming year, and then of course an NC. It has its own agenda. So we also showing it for 3 weeks in London in Lewisham at the Albany Theatre. So it's starting on the 23rd of June, and then also the same show in Kiasma. We also show of the show that you're in.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, so there are these like
busy
things coming. Yeah.
That's I'm looking forward to seeing the Sun and Sea in Lewisham. That sounds like fun. Well, thank you so much, both of you. It's been really great to hear you talking about your practice, and really generous of you. And I hope that we can meet in real life sometime, somewhere in the world.
Yeah, we're really...
And thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Thanks for your question. And it's really nice to be gathering together. Nice to see you more than 5 minutes, Lena.
We met. I know.
This was the best.
How bizarre.
So cool. So nice.
Out of Space is a podcast series produced by Space, London's largest artist studios provider. To learn more about the artists taking part and for further resources, please visit the What's On section of Space's website at www.spacestudios.org.